You're listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Do you want to move from burned out to fired up? Welcome to Leave the Job You Hate for the Work You Love with Marty Murphy. Marty is a career coach, certified EFT practitioner, and former corporate captive who helps business professionals overcome the fears that keep them stuck in the job they hate.
Welcome. I am your host, Marty Murphy, and I am thrilled to be here with you today. And I have a very special guest I want to introduce to you. And I have to tell you, I think this is so great. She was just telling me that today's a full moon. And the last interview I did happened on a full moon and Friday the 13th. So there must be something to doing these interviews on a full moon. So, and before I introduce you to my guest, I want to start with a quote that I think directly applies to what we're going to be talking about today, your life purpose. And it's a quote from a gentleman named Steve Maraboli out of a book called Life, the Truth, and Being Free. And he says, "You were put on this earth to achieve your greatest self, to live out your purpose, and to do it courageously." And my intention for this radio show is to give you helpful information to assist you along your journey to taking your own big leap into the meaningful work you love and to move you from burned out to fired up. So the question to ask yourself, in case you're wondering if this applies to you, is if I could do anything with my work life without any limitations on me, would I be doing the job, the career, or the business that I'm in now? If your answer is yes, bravo, that is fantastic, and I would love to hear your story. So please email me at info@martymurphy.com. And if your answer is no, then join me for these shows so you can hear great content along with true stories of those who have been there and done that so that you can find possibility and believability again, the belief that you can free yourself to do the meaningful work that you love. And that's why I want to bring you interviews with people like my guest, Denise D., who has an amazing gift to share with the world. But before I introduce her, I want to give a personal plug. I first became acquainted with her when I heard her on an interview, and I quickly signed up for her offer. I didn't have to put much thought into it, and I followed my intuition, and it turned out to be a great decision. I was blown away by her. And the amazing thing is, this is not what you think of when you hear the words palm reader. This is so much more than that, and it's so much more personal and intimate. And I highly encourage you to work with Denise, as you have potentially life-changing information in your hands, and her genius is reading it and putting it together for you in a way that will excite and encourage you. And the best part is she makes it fun. And she has a wicked sense of humor that I absolutely appreciate. So without further ado, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her. The first words out of Denise's mouth were, "Why not?" And that may be a bit of an exaggeration, but her life purpose as an innovator has made itself known to her at a very young age. She played in punk bands and has been empowering women to be creative and express their truth since the 70s. Denise loves to work with outsiders who are looking for a way in. She is a rebel seer and a rags-to-riches expert who specializes in moving people from action, fear, to action using the tools of hand analysis, astrology, energy work, and deep X-ray vision. The secret to living a rich life is found in your creative channel, and will call on your inner rebel to access the energy on lockdown in your second chakra and throat. Without being able to voice your desires, you'll continue to manifest from a place of good girl. And let me add, I personally know this place all too well. Denise was raised in a first-generation Polish-American working-class family by her mother as a single mom who beat into her head, "Be grateful you have a job and be the hardest worker out there." More later on how long it took Denise to erase that tape and how she finally started making money doing what she loves to do most. Denise helps highly creative women who are in psychic pain claim their mostly deeply buried gifts so that they can live with no shame making money, being who they are. So welcome, Denise. I am so thrilled to have you on the show with me today because I know we're going to have fun.
We sure are. I am delighted to be here. I'm loving your phrase about former corporate captive.
Yes.
That's such a great phrase.
It is. It's so true. It's so true. So what I'd love for you to talk about is kind of tell your story first, because I really want people to get a sense of people that have been there and done that and really how you did overcome that statement that your mom had said, like, you got to work hard and do that. So could you share that with us?
I sure can. I'm going to, because the focus of your show is, you know, leaving jobs that you hate, I'm going to focus on that segment of the story so we can jump right into it. I have to say, though, I never felt like a corporate captive. The job was actually fun, but I'll tell you as I'm telling the story about what parts of it weren't so fun. So I was working as a manager of a social research company, and we were doing studies to find out how to get people to use condoms. This was in the time of GRID, even before it was called AIDS, and then it started to be called AIDS. So there were a lot of creative parts to that. You know, we were talking to people. We were asking them about their behaviors, interacting, you know, on the edge type of work. Yet I was using all my creative energy to figure out ways to get those people to talk to us, to overcome their objections, because, of course, most people did not want to talk to somebody on the phone about their sexual behavior, as you can imagine. You know?
Sure.
So theoretically, it was a 40-hour-a-week job, and I was making really good money. But when I sat down and started to look at it, I was easily working 60 hours a week when we're talking about thinking about it at home, you know, like using my own energy on my own time to come up with like some different ways to get around these people's objections. And I really got a strong sense in my body that there's more to life than this, you know, and was feeling really drawn towards leaving. And because it was a really high-paying job, and because I only went to high school, and everybody else around me had master's degrees, you know, the higher up people in the organization, you know, I kept hearing that, you're lucky you have a job. You know, not only are you lucky you have a job, you're lucky you have this really well-paying job with a lot of people from a university. So, you know, I was going back and forth like, oh, I should go. No, you're crazy. I should go. You're crazy. You know, I have health insurance. I should go. And what finally got me to leave was, this was in San Francisco, and I went to an international Sufi conference. And Coleman, I can't remember now if it's Barks or Banks. I think it's Barks. Was there reading Rumi poems, and he read the poem with the line, which fits in totally with your message about taking the leap, which was falling, they fall, and they are given wings. And I knew that unless I took that leap, that I was never going to get those wings. Some moment wasn't going to come where I was totally safe and, you know, had that bank account full of money and it was going to be time to quit. It was like, I have to do it tomorrow. So I went in the next day and gave 2 weeks' notice and took a job in a bookstore, which paid nothing, but was a lot of fun and freed up my brain so I didn't have to be thinking about anything. I could just do it and then go home and do whatever I wanted to do. So that was huge. And it took me 2 years to do that. And I'm a rebel. I'm a person who's innovative, so I understand how hard it can be to give up something that seems safe and secure and well-paying. And it may be interesting, like what I was doing was interesting, but was it my life purpose? No. Was it fulfilling, like using my creativity for me? No.
Right. That's exactly it. That when I talk about that term too, corporate captive, same thing. In the truth, I've never hated my job. I was really good at it. There were parts of it that I hated, but what I realized is there was a lot about it that was somewhat soul depleting for me.
Yes.
So it was like, and I always had that inner knowing, like there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And thank you so much, Denise, for sharing that story, because it really does speak to that I think the thing that traps us in jobs or businesses that we don't like is it's like the security of that paycheck, and it really is hard to give up a sure thing. And what I love about your work is when I did that session with you, it just opened so many doors in my mind for me. And it's not only that, it's fascinating to hear how we carry our life purpose in our hands and all the other things that go along with that. And I'd really love for you to tell us more about your work and how is it different from that traditional idea of, like, I'm going to go pay $5 or $10 to get my palm read.
Right. That's a great question. So the biggest difference is I do what's called scientific TAN analysis. So in scientific TAN analysis, we believe that those lines in your hands are the cumulative markings of your thinking and your behavior up until this moment in time. So it's not predictive. You know, I'm not looking at the line on your hand and saying when you're going to fall in love or when you're going to die, because we're seeing what you need to work on so you could fall in love. Right, because we saw when we looked at your heartline, for example, and my heartline as well, like we have armoring on there, we have abandonment, we have betrayal on there, and so a lot of our energy is either going towards those things or trying to avoid those things to cover up, you know, I don't feel abandoned and betrayed, you know, or I don't have armoring on my heart, you know, I have this really open heart, but we're not looking at what it is that's calling to want to be expressed through us. Like in yours and mine's case, with some of these out there rebellious, out-of-the-box kind of energies that may not have been valued in the houses that we grew up in, right? So we may have shied away from using that or thinking maybe we used it, but we didn't think that we could get paid for it. And I think sometimes when we are in these jobs that we don't like so much and we hang in there, it's using some amount of those things that we love. So I feel like it would be really useful to go through, if you have a job, and look at what does feed my soul in this job, right? Because those are going to be some of your surest markers towards what you want to be doing in your own business and what you want to be doing in your own life.
Yeah, and that really speaks to this term, transferable skills, that one of the other radio hosts told me about, which I love. It's what you're speaking to is if you look at whatever work it is you're doing right now, you have transferable skills. You have, like, I remember thinking for myself, I've wasted 30 years of my life doing this, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, my God, I haven't at all. I actually was getting paid. I did a ton of public speaking, and I had to be in front of people in a selling capacity, so I had to be able to read people, and all of us have those. And that really, and I love what you said about, you know, how that shows up on your hand, and it's Now, one thing, this pops in my head, and I want to bring this up now. So there's lines on our hands that are not fixed, but then there's markings that are. Can you speak to those?
Yeah. So I'm going to say that in a slightly different way, but that's pretty right on. So truly, the only things that you can't change on your hands are your fingerprints. They were formed in utero between 12 and 16 weeks. So the fingerprints are where we get a person's life purpose, life lessons, and life goal. You were born with those. You're going to die with those. And even if you think you have other lives, this is probably the only life that you have with this exact set of fingerprints. So we want to use it, you know. We want
right.
to use all those gifts the entire time that we're here. And then the lines on your hands can and do change, yes. So nothing's set. You know, you saw yourself, like, how much probably your hands have changed since you had your hand analysis done. And the markings on your hands are telling you about something, like the gift markings, which is that reading I'm offering to your listeners. So they're showing you extra potential gifts that you asked for before you came in. And if you're not using those gifts, you're in what we call a penalty zone.
Right.
Yet
and
those can alter. When you start using those gifts fully, those markings could disappear from your hand. So we're often seeing those markings on a person's hand, you know, like we'd be seeing in triage or whatever, like, you know, this is urgent, wants to be seen, start using now, you know.
Right,
don't back
right.
away. Do not back away, like break the glass over that marking and start using it, you know.
Right.
It's gonna really inspire you and make you feel more alive the more you use those gift markings, because when we're not using the gifts that are associated with those, you know, we're feeling lethargic, we don't have a lot of energy, we're feeling alienated, we're feeling stagnant, like, who are these bozos, what am I doing, loss
right.
of direction, you know, a few different things. But yeah, those can move as well once we start using them more fully. So the only non-alterable is the fingerprints.
Great, great. Now, when you talk about gift markings, so say there's someone listening that they're doing a job now, they know it's not feeding their soul, but then they're like, I don't even know what I'd do. How could hooking up with you and getting a reading help them?
Okay, so first, I have to say this just because this is a deep belief of mine. Everybody somewhere in them knows what it is that they're supposed to be doing.
Right, right.
Right.
I
so
agree with you.
It's one of the things I believe that could help from hooking up with me is, first off, I'm going to cut through that confusion with them, because you know as well as I do, Marty, we both have had readings. We both worked with other people. They can tell you stuff from now till kingdom come, and you won't believe it, or we won't take it in until we believe it ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, we could run from psychic to psychic, reader to reader, person to person, you know, and, oh, yeah, yeah, I heard that before, and dismiss it or take it in, right? But I love to get people connected first with themselves, like, what is it that, you know, underneath all that, what is it that you want to do? And the markings in the hands will show these gifts that you contracted to have before you came in. Like, some people have lines of genius, which is that Oprah, I call them the Oprah lines, so it's
mm-hmm.
taking a big message and simplifying it a bit in a way that can get it across to the masses.
Right.
Right, so sometimes people with that are confused about what they're supposed to do, because they're sitting around like, I don't know what my message is. And the irony with that gift marking is you have to get out there and start doing it, and then your message becomes clearer and clearer and clearer as you do it. So a lot of us claim, oh, I'm confused, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to be doing, but that's just a way to not get out there.
That is so perfectly said, and I love that. And I know from my reading with you, you know, that idea, how I think, too, it can help someone that has that belief, like, I'm confused, I have no idea. And like you said, deep down, we do know.
Mm-hmm.
We do know. But how I found that helpful working with you, too, is when you were telling me things that you saw, it was like, oh, whoa, yeah, oh, God, I feel that. Oh, I know that. And it reaffirmed, and it actually... parts of me that had some doubt, like I was like, yeah, I think I know that. But when I had my reading with you, it was like, oh, wow, it just confirmed. and gave me affirmation that what was going on kind of deep down below was accurate. And that's how I found that so helpful. And it also opened up, you know, this belief that, whoa, yeah, I can do this. I can definitely do these things. So I found it really helpful that way. So say someone, they're like, yeah, I don't know what I want to do. And then they would meet with you and then they're like, you know what? There's, to me, it also taps into that part of them deep down where when they talk to you and they hear what you have to say and what's showing up on their hands, there's that inner knower in them that's going to go, yeah, I kind of knew that. And it really can help.
It's so beautiful because it's your hands. I was an astrologer for a long time and still do use astrology, right? But, I mean, for all practical purposes, although we understand what that symbolizes and represents, a piece of paper with a circle on it divided up into a pie chart, you know? So it's not always as concrete for people as looking down at their own hand. Like, since I was a child, even though I had no idea about any of this type of stuff at that moment in time, but I was always fascinated by how much hands, you know, if I grew up Catholic, so I heard that story about, you know, having life breathed into you, being clay, being formed from earth like clay and having life breathed into you. It's just so sensual, right? But then look down at your hands right now, like where your thumbs meet your palm and some parts of the palm, you can see that same texture like earth in your hands. You know, so it's living and breathing, and you can really feel as if these are my hands. I can shape and form things with my hands. We're so apt to think I can shape and form things with my mind, right?
Right.
We see what that's created for some of us. Certainly we can, right? But oftentimes the things we're shaping and creating with our minds are not in our highest good, you know, or we're feeling frustrated because everybody told us we can manifest these things by positive thinking and just thinking it, you know. But your hands can show you why, like, affirmations may not be working for you or why you're not able to just, quote, let something go, because some of these things that people are telling us to let go can be our deepest gifts. Like that bluntness or that outspokenness or that laser sharp vision or x-ray vision or good cells or, you know, direct speaking or whatever it is for each person, seeing what other people don't want you to see.
Right.
You know, the
right.
elephant in the room, you're the person that's going to speak about what's going on about that elephant in the room. I mean, people are paying consultants a lot of money for those types of things.
Right, yes.
To cut through, like, this works, this doesn't work, you know. So your hands, everywhere in your hands, like if you look down at your hands and aside from, there's one horizontal line in everybody's hands, it's right under the fingers, that's the heart line, and some people, the next line down is the head line, some people's is horizontal. But just in general, Marty and listeners, most of the lines in your hands that are horizontal are NO lines, no. They're saying no to the essence of the energy in that part of your hand. So it was, I mean, no matter what else comes out of having your hands looked at, to me that was mind-blowing to see how I was denying myself certain access to certain energies in my hands. Like pleasures for me, I have a lot of no in my pleasure zone. You know, it's so even though I quit that job and I'm making money doing what I love, you know, there's still that piece of how, you know, there's a question in access consciousness about how much easier could this get?
Right.
How much better could it be? How much fun could this get? Right. So I think that's a good question for all of us as entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs of, we still may bring that work ethic, you know, to it, which, yes, we do have to work, but sometimes it's like working too hard for results. Have you had that experience?
Oh, never. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It seems like that's been my whole life, and, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so when you talk about, can you give an example? Like, you talked about the pleasures for yourself, so somebody's, like, they're not stepping, say, into their joy more, like, okay, I've moved into this thing, but so they can find that actually on their hands is what you're saying.
They can find that in their hands, and aside from the lines that I was talking about, there's a gift marking called a Venus star that hangs out in the Venus zone of the hand, And a lot of people that have that had childhoods like the one I was talking about that I had, which was not extremely filled with joy. By the way, I need to clear up. I might have written something that indicated that I had a single mother. I didn't. I had a father, but he was mentally ill. So my mother was acting as if she was my mother and father, right? But I did have a father in the house.
Okay,
but with that Venus, yeah, in case, you know, I mean, they're both dead, but still, I don't want to have it out there like, oh, my God, she had a special
mother. Right, sure, sure.
But that Venus star often is with people who grew up in households where we didn't really have a childhood, right? There wasn't a lot of play. We had to be adults at a very young age. You know, the parents probably weren't very joyful, right? So it's a loss of joy. And one of the things to utilize with that gift to have more fun, to have more joy is, you know, it has to be first in your life for a while.
Mm.
Like when my business slows down or when it gets stuck, when I feel stuck or confused, I make a collage or I make art. I do something fun.
Perfect.
Which, you know,
yeah,
our normal inclination would be like, I gotta make more sales. You know, I gotta like do, where
mm-hmm.
It's almost like we can't see what would be the highest, best thing for us to do from that place. So there's nothing like a good collage or a piece of art and an image, because the image so cuts through the confusion of the brain. You can't, and the image is undeniable.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, and it really makes sense to me, because I do think we live in a culture that it's like we're revered for working hard, you know, and the longer hours we work, the more, it's almost like, and I found that in corporate America, people are kind of walking around pounding their chest, yeah, I put in 90 hours this week. Like, you're supposed to feel good about that because that is revered in that culture. So, and absolutely what you're saying is inject more joy. It's counterintuitive to what we're taught, but like you said, hey, I'm noticing things are slowing down. The normal pattern would be like, I've got to do more, push harder, like you said, make things happen instead of, well, I just need to go paint or I need to go hike. And how exciting is that to start to shift that energy to like, I need to go do something good for myself. And I know that's been true for me in my life when it's like I've been in a place where I'm like, okay, I start pushing harder. It's never worked. I just end up feeling worse about myself. And like, but when I go do something that brings joy to me, it's like the universe or whatever you want to call it supports me in that, and better things come to me and flow to me. So it's really, too, about overcoming that programming that we have, you've got to work hard, you know, to make it work. That's a huge emotional component as well.
And it's so exhausting, as we all know. It is exhausting, you know,
right?
To have that mentality of being, first off, you know, like being responsible, being that responsible to something outside yourself, that you don't have the time and space to be responsible to your life purpose, you know, to what really matters to you. And I honestly think sometimes that working so much or working so hard is a way to avoid intimacy.
Oh, yes. That makes a lot of sense, right? And, yeah, avoid intimacy and avoid so many things. It's because it fills you up. And that brings up a good point, too. So if someone's, say, in a job and they're used to that work week, you know, the Monday through Friday, and like you said, you're finding like when you were back doing, you know, a job, you were like, whoa, I'm putting in way more hours. It is such a good distraction and doesn't allow, to me, it shuts down our creative mind. And there is a big shift that has to occur when, say, you move out of, say, the safety of the job and somebody's telling you, hey, this is what you do, and you might move into work that you love. There's a shift that you have to make, and that can take time and happen over time, and to honor that it's a major life change. And to go through, you know, which is great about, you know, tapping's a great way to do that. And then, you know, somebody gets a reading from you, and it sort of can affirm, wow, this makes sense that I'm feeling this way, because, you know, I'm not putting more joy, and I need to learn, you know, now that I've got maybe more time on my hands, I can inject more joy in my life, and better things are going to come to me from that.
Yeah, and everyone is so different, right? Because I am an action taker. Like, I am a doer. So even at that 60-hour-a-week deal, I was still publishing a little zine, as we called them, you know,
right,
like those
right.
punk rock zines. And I have a lot of energy, so I was still doing crazy amounts of things that where I was married to somebody who was, like, totally Mr. Inertia, of course, right? So
right,
it's
right,
not,
sure.
not always is everybody not capable of, like, carrying on a few things at the same time. But you can see that in your hands, because in our lifeline, I have a do-do-do lifeline, gotta, you know, where some people have lifelines that are more like a Prius, relax, the scenic route, you know, and just to know these kind of things about yourself and honor them, because not everyone can manifest from taking action.
That's a great point. Great distinction.
So then you feel like a failure, right? Because they said, you
right.
know, if I just did these affirmations and I did this, that, and the other thing, like everything would manifest. Well, the doing, I can manifest from doing. I'm a manifester, so that works well for me. But I really have seen, like with people that I work with, you know, I have to remember, like, what's fast action for them may seem like an eternity for me.
Right. Right.
And it comes somewhere in the middle, so I'm just not another person that's, like, driving them in a way that's going to blow up and burn their engine, where for me that's fueling and energizing, you know. So the hands show us a lot about our own design. And if you don't know your design, I just wrote something the other day while I was doing a testimonial for somebody about sometimes you can't get results until you know who you are. Because you're trying to get results the way other people get results, right? And even in some of, like, those cookie-cutter coaching programs, it's so one-size-fits-all, 7 easy steps to this, that, or the other thing, which, granted, probably works for some people, right? But if you're feeling frustrated that you're not getting results the way somebody else told you that you should be getting results, you know, it's important to find out as much as you can about your own design. Some people do things like start to finish. For me, that would be impossible.
Right, right. Myself as well.
Yeah, we both have multiple fate lines, which are people who go, you know, I'm looking out the window. Oh, that reminds me of this. I go get that. Oh, that reminds me of this. And at the end of the day, like, we have a blog or we have a new client or we have something we had no idea what we were headed to. And other people that would drive nuts. You know,
yeah.
Like a well-meaning person would be like, Marty, why don't you just pick one thing and focus on it? Well, when I'm looking at your hands, I'd be like, Marty, you're never going to, you know, it's just not your design to pick one thing and focus on it. You're going to burn yourself out and beat yourself up trying to be somebody you're not.
Well, and that's why I think working with you can be so helpful to someone that's going to, say, make a big change in their life, because, like, ahead of time, they can get this sense of start to know who they are and to feel good about it. And like you said, accept it and go, wow, no wonder I don't like things that way. Instead of, you know, the messages that we get, like you're saying, we should just, oh, I should be able to do it that way. And it makes you feel better about the fact that, oh gosh, that makes so much sense to me. And you feel affirmed instead of, oh, I'm different, and just creating more resistance. So I think it speaks perfectly to that.
Yeah, and you have a really clear sense of who you are. I mean, there's master and student, passive everything, right? So I'm not only saying you have this really clear sense of who you are and you never veer off course, right, because you could be on the student path of that. But it is good to know, you know, like if I had the handprints of the ex-husband, you know, We can look at things in somebody's hand that doesn't have a whole lot of emotion caught up in it and just go, okay, they have this kind of marking, you know, okay, I have this. I can't expect them to do this in the way I would be doing this because it's not going to work for them.
Right, right, yeah.
So it's cool, and it's your map in your hands. I mean, they're your hands. You put those lines in them. So I think that's so fascinating to be able to look down at our hands once we understand, you know, once we've had a reading or talked to somebody about what's going on, not in the predictive way, but just in the okay, you know, like I've shared with you before, I had a massive anger line in my hand. So, you know, of course, most people would probably, or a lot of people would be like, you got to get rid of that anger. You know, like, just let that go, Denise, let it go. But it was just growing and growing and growing. And to me, anger is energy, right? It's just energy.
Absolutely.
And fuel, and how are we going to use it, and how are we going to direct it? So when my mentor said, what are you so angry about? I'm like, I'm angry about, I was never allowed to get angry because I was very fiery and volatile as a child. And, you know, that got a kibosh put on it, you know, but it's, and I'm not advocating like straight up anger without showing like what you're raging about, what's missing, because you wouldn't be that angry unless there was a vital part of you that had been told that it wasn't okay to express it.
Oh, that is at the heart of what I feel like I love with the work that I do, too, is I think so many of us have suppressed anger. I call it like the forbidden emotion. And just like you said, there's energy in it. And I remember for myself years ago when I started kind of cleaning up things about myself, it wasn't anger, it was rage. And it made sense because I was raised with a father who is a military veteran and, you know, there was a lot of PTSD in my household and had no idea. So he was a rageaholic. And and just like you're saying, there are very healthy, effective ways to deal with your anger. So it seems to me like somebody comes to you and they see an anger line. There are absolutely healthy practices for ways, just like you're saying, for people to be able to own their anger and to really finally feel it. I am personally convinced that's one of the biggest blocks to living the life that we love, most of us have, is the suppressed emotion. So like you said, somebody sees I have an anger line, it's like, hey, there's really healthy ways to allow yourself to feel that. And it is so liberating to be able to own that and go, you know, we're given anger for a reason. And it makes sense that it escalates when we're not allowed to feel it. So thank you for speaking to that. I think that's just one of the, it's a huge component.
When your biggest gifts are under there, that's why I have that rage, that's why I created Rage to Riches, which is a program I'm running for some of my clients right now, because the under that rage is a gold mine.
Yes, and thanks, Denise, because I said rag to riches, and it's rage to riches. That's so much better. I stand corrected.
So
awesome. It's so true,
you know,
rage to riches.
It's not unusual that people thought that said rags, but, I mean, it fits anyhow, right? So, but it is rage in this case, because under that rage is a gold mine. Like, as soon as I started expressing myself fully in the work that I do, and a lot of that work is spiritual, right? And quite a bit of the spiritual community would not be wanting us to be angry or not be wanting us to be super passionate or not be wanting us to be, you know, many things. But, you know, I'm me, and I have to do it my way. And there's, you know, there are gift markings that indicate that, like what type of intuitive gifts you have. Some people have, quote, intuition, which is, you know, a feeling or an understanding. And others of us have, like, deep gifts in the shamanic part of our hands, which is the truth teller, which is the person saying what nobody else wants to say. And that's not always love and light, you know. That is often highly uncomfortable and takes a lot of courage to be able to be one of those people. So if you have those kind of markings and you're not using that because, well, that wouldn't be nice, or a spiritual person wouldn't do that. I used to hear that all the time from clients, you know, oh, a spiritual person wouldn't charge that much, or a spiritual person wouldn't. It's like, who said so?
Right.
You know? Who's defining this? And I'm not, I mean, teach their own, right? But you're not showing up to work with me if you're supposed to be giving away your gifts and not charging much for it. You know, you're working with somebody else that's encouraging that. But it's so interesting how much we've been sad, painfully heartbreaking, about how much we've boxed in because somebody told us it wouldn't be nice, or it wouldn't be good, or a spiritual person wouldn't do that thing.
Oh, I am a firm believer. That is why there's road rage, you know, there's animal abuse, you know, domestic violence, all that, because it's so much about suppressed emotions. And, you know, when I think about that, like when when someone's like, you know what, I know I'm not doing something I love, but then the fear gets in the way of doing that, you know, between tapping and obviously, you know, working with you, it's just, again, to allow for all of those feelings. And I think that's what I got, too, with, you know, my reading with you, which was very extensive, which was so great, was just getting more of a sense of everything I'm feeling is exactly as it should be. My emotions mm-hmm. and feelings are really good, and they're okay, and they're going, and finding ways to productively deal with them is going to get me where I want to go and get me through these blocks and these limiting beliefs that keep me from my good or keep me from the meaningful work I love. And I mean, I just, like I said, I can't say enough of how tremendously helpful I have found all of that. You know, it just affirmed again who I am.
Yeah, and hands are so cool for that, because though these markings mean things, and we're going to be talking about what those things mean, obviously, and helping you find ways to utilize those and, you know, move some blocks, and not only move some blocks, you know, go into it and utilize all that energy in your hand, they're visual, you know. So,
right.
So we see patterns. We're trained in some part to see patterns. And I'm just so struck every time I look at somebody's hands before I start talking to them, just how much hands speak. You know, so
yeah.
Even just looking down at your own hands, just, you know, you don't have to know what any of it means right now in this moment in time, you know, like just observe those lines like you were in sand, you know, in the desert, or you were in moisture dirt in Seattle, you know, or you're in the grassy part if you're in some other part of the country, you know, and just the different ways patterns are formed, because I don't believe anything is solved by, quote, talking about it, right? It's like we get
right.
the images and then we go into it and we explore it, but or thinking, I guess I should say, rather than talking, you know, like our brains want to think it, our brains want to figure it out, you know, our brains want to have the answer. And the hands are so gorgeous because we observe them over time. Like we do the reading and then you get to continue to observe your hands over time.
Yeah.
And where else can
so
you see
exciting.
In a really tangible way? What other like tool like this can you see in a tangible way that some line has gone off your hand?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, it's right there in your hands.
Mm-hmm. I went last night to, Marty, you may love these books, I went last night to Los Angeles Public Library where three women were there speaking. One person, Laurel Braitman, wrote a book called Animal Madness. Oh, Anxious Dogs, Compulsive Parrots, and Elephants in Recovery Help Us Understand Ourselves. And the other two ladies wrote a book called Zoobiquity about the astonishing connection between humans and animal health. So I'm bringing this up now. You guys may be like, I thought we were talking about jobs. Like, why are we talking about this? But the thing that stuck out most for me, and it was fascinating, like the entire thing, get those books, they're great. But they made the point that only in the like last century did this talk therapy idea come about, right? And veterinarians can't do that. They're not talking to these animals to figure out how they feel. And they made the point that words can get in the way. They can obscure a diagnosis by how the person is talking, you know? So the person
right.
may be, like, not wanting to admit what they're really feeling or what's going on. So they were comparing how veterinarians observe. And come to it in that way. So that really connected with me for many different reasons, but, you know, particularly for the hands, because the first thing I do with the hands is I observe. I'm not interested necessarily like in a person's story, because I think stories keep us stuck. You know, so the first story or your plan or your blueprint or whatever you want to call it that you wrote is in your hands. So
I love it.
We're just going to keep taking you back. This is your creation story in your hands. You created your hands in utero, right? So,
right.
You know, these gift markings are taking you back to your creation story that you wrote that I can help you deepen and understand more and live more yet we're not going to force it to fit some pattern or fit some mold just because some Hannah Ellis's book said this means this.
Right. Yeah, that's
going to be different on my hand or your hand, Marty, because you have one story, you know, you have one creation story in your hands, I have another one in mine, and then those markings play out similarly, right, because we're of a tribe, yet they're very unique and customized to the person as well. So having a reading rather than just reading about things in a book is I can help you weave those things together where I know when I read things in books like about numerology or whatever, which I'm not an expert in. I'm trying to piece it together, but I don't get the big picture.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. Like, wow, this is on my physical being, and this is me, you know, and you get to, like you said, the most important thing is learning more about yourself first, and this is absolutely an avenue and a way to go about that, to begin that process.
And if you don't know who you are, you're not going to really, you may be getting results, but they're not going to be satisfying results because they're not in alignment with the results that you want to get from that true part of yourself.
Mm, right, right. That's great. Now,
you know,
can you talk about some of the particular gift markings? Like there's some fun ones like Moon Whirl and some of maybe some of your favorites just to kind of give people a little bit more of a taste for it too.
Okay, sure. So that the Moon Whirl that you just mentioned isn't a gift marking. You have that in your hand. That's a fingerprint in the palm. That's a sign of a person being a spiritual teacher. It's very it's unusual that people put fingerprints in their palms. So when people have one, it's a big deal. And that's I'm glad you asked to clarify that because we all have gifts. Right?
Right.
And sometimes those gifts don't really, it doesn't matter if we use them or not. But when it's a gift marking, you must use it or you're going to be in the penalty zone. It's a deep well of potential. It's something that you express to the creator, to the universe, to the divine, whatever word that you want to use. Like, when I get down there on earth, you know, I have to have the ability to whatever, you know, and they say, okay, we get down there. And if we're not using that, it's kind of like homesickness, you know. It's like something's missing, like what did I forget, you know. And then when you find out about the gift markings, it's like, oh, my God, that's what I forgot. So one of the gift markings that people may be having that's what I forgot from are the moon stars, particularly in the lower part of the moon zone, which is that deep psychic knowing, right? So it's the person that makes the invisible visible. It's the person who speaks of things that other people may not see or know, right? You know, I make that joke about the truth teller is not always welcome. Do you know, but you may have come in totally prepared to speak the truth to your tribe, you know, the medicine person, you know, whatever name you want to give to that. And instead of having that welcoming tribe, you know, you're greeted by, don't say that ever again. Don't talk about that. I'm sending you to the office. But that didn't go away just because people told you not to talk about it or not to share that. So if you have that gift, Marty, you're going to need to either create or find a community where people come to you for that deep knowing that no one else is going to be able to express. Like your soul is longing for that. Your soul is longing for like that sense of people around a fire with you and you're helping them interpret dreams, you know, or you're bringing out that deeply buried part of them. So if you have those kind of markings and you're not doing something that's like getting to the bottom of things or helping people discover the depths of who they are, because you're discovering more of the depths of who you are when you're working with someone else discovering the depths of who they are, you're going to feel alienated, you're going to feel stagnant, you know?
Right, right.
And it's not like not everybody has that particular version, you know, of a psychic or an intuitive gift. So we need everybody that has that expressing it.
Right.
You know, the one that I've shared this with you before, but it feels like one that a lot of people in this audience have, so I'll talk about this one too. There's the gift marking that's medical stigmata. That's those lines underneath the pinky finger. So that name is terrible. Your hand's not going to start bleeding. but But it may if you don't start using the gift because it's a deep, that's the mark of a deep healer. Okay, so when it's on the left hand, it's about you probably had a painful childhood where you got some deep wounding and you have to figure out, you had to like go through a lot of different modalities to figure out what it is to get to know yourself.
Right.
Right, so people that have those and aren't using them, right, so if we're not wanting to know ourselves, or if we are wanting to know ourselves, but we feel like there's something wrong with us, so I better keep people away at a distance because if they get too close and see who I really am, they're going to leave.
Right, right.
They're not going to love me. So the penalty zone of that one is intimacy breakdown, feeling like there's a brick wall around you. It's so draining. I was having that going on. And when I heard that that was a penalty zone of a gift marking, I'm like, I have to find out about this. I have to learn about this so I can get out of that, keeping people at arm's length, keeping people at a distance. You can be doing that even if you seem super gregarious and friendly.
Yes. Yeah.
That can be the way you're keeping them away from you.
Yeah, and what
close.
I found, too, Denise, is like you get this information out, at least it's the way it came to me. I didn't feel bad about any of this stuff that I was like, it made sense. Then it was like I felt better about myself, like, oh, my gosh, it makes sense that I'm showing up that way. You know,
yeah,
it's like, it's like almost like I have permission, but now I know I need to do something about that. So it was really it was great.
I found it a total relief because oftentimes those gift markings are tied in with things that somebody told us weren't okay to have. Like all
right.
of you, if you never, with the medical stigmata, because it's in the intimacy zone of the hand and it's about, and a part of it's about communication, like, I will love you if you never talk about that again.
Right.
It's like, well, okay, now that I'm like a shell of my former self,
Right.
Like that alone, finding out that you have that in your hand is such a confirmation of not only will I no longer agree to never talk about that again, that's part of what you came to teach other people, that thing that you were told not to talk about or it makes people uncomfortable or not to bring it up.
Right.
That's part of your inspirational message, because when you have that, you also have a quality of being, if you have it on your right hand, there's also that quality of being an inspirational speaker, which you have.
Lovely.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the first things we talked about, and you were like, yeah, I knew that.
Right. Well, you know, and that makes sense, too, like what we were just talking about, how people end up, like, in work that they don't love because it's the messages they get. And then, you know, you have that inner rumbling, like, deep down you know something, you know, it's not working for you. And, like, you have your hands red and you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. You know, it's that whole, yeah, I knew that kind of thing. I knew I had that inner longing. I knew I wasn't living up to my potential. And, you know, I got these messages that that wasn't okay. So then you see that and you're like, ah, makes sense.
And you won't be able to settle anymore. So it may cause some disruption, you know, or right, like a little eruption right after we talk about it. Because you'll see that, like Marty said, well, I was getting some attention at my job and I was able to be in front of people talking and, you know, doing those sales, and you were getting some confirmation and affirmation for that, but it wasn't making money for you and it wasn't talking about what your true message is.
Right.
So sometimes then we, you know, it's true that, like, we never wasted any time because it's always helping something out, but there is that... It's almost like the last stage of birthing, you know, where we find this out and it's like, okay, what's it going to take to fully birth this into the world to allow me to say, you know, I don't want to be just doing it in small parts. I don't want to be accepting, like, these crumbs. You know, I want the whole thing. I want it to be my business. I want to be out there speaking about things that matter to me and making that money for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very eye-opening, and I cannot speak highly enough about just how, you know, there was so much information that you gave that was confirmation to me, and like I said, just felt better about the things that maybe, you know, I hadn't felt so good about before. I was like, yeah, okay, I get that. And it makes sense. And
mm-hmm.
It's just somehow it's such an accepting place that you find with yourself. And, you know, I find that in the work that I do. I think it really always boils down to acceptance, 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 acceptance. And that is absolutely, you know, what I have found, you know, getting the readings with you. You come to it from such an accepting place and you hold that space for someone. So when, you know, you're telling them all this great stuff and then you're telling them, hey, here's the stuff that, here's the messages in your hands that are saying this is what you need to step out and do. And it really is assisting in that process of knowing oneself and accepting oneself.
Yeah, and I think the beauty, Marty, and I feel like we share this, I think the beauty of those of us that had what, you know, what some people may call a really hard childhood, so like these mentally ill, you know, in my case, a schizophrenic father, in your case, this rageaholic, you know, we've seen so much. There's really nothing that can shock me, and I mean that with all sincerity, right? So I'm not, it's neither good nor bad. I'm not looking for anybody to get rid of anything. There's nothing embarrassing. There's nothing I haven't done myself probably, you know.
Right.
So it's a gift that we have to be able to receive people from that place of I will expose myself, I will reveal myself, because sometimes, you know, when we're in that baby healer thing, we're trying to, well, I have the answers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep, like, the distance somehow, right? But when we,
mm-hmm.
when they know, when the people, like your clients, my clients, the people that are listening, when their own clients, when you have that emotional intimacy and authenticity and they know that, you know, I sometimes use the example, like if I had ever been in AA, and this is just me, I wouldn't have wanted a sponsor that was sober 20 years. I would have wanted a person who was sober 6 months.
Yeah.
Or a year. So they could relate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very beneficial sometimes for people to be working with people who haven't forgotten what it was like to be in those places ourselves.
Absolutely.
And still are in those places ourselves, of course, still, when we're in our student path of our life lessons and life purposes, right? Because that just gives people more space to talk honestly.
It works in progress, all of us. I mean, I say that
mm-hmm.
all the time. And we have about a couple minutes left, and I want you to tell people about your offering.
All right, so I am offering for the people listening to this call my gift marking reading, which will identify the gift markings in your hands. We'll also look at how they want to be used for you, what you can do to move out of that dang penalty zone. And I will say we're totally loving ourselves, because before we had this reading done, we weren't aware that we were in a penalty zone. But once you have the reading done, you know, it's like in hockey, you'll know, I don't want to spend time in that penalty zone. I want to be out there on the ice playing, right? So it's going to,
mm-hmm.
it is going to light a fire under you once you know what these gifts are, to be utilizing them as fully as you can. So that reading is normally $297. I'm offering it to the people on this call for $122. So there's no reason not to do that. It's a total no-brainer price, making this accessible and as easy as I can for you to come in the door so you can have your hands open and revealed to you. And I can't think of a reason not to do it. I mean, every time I do these calls, pretty much everyone that listens to them ends up doing one of the readings.
Oh, I did it, and I can speak to it personally. I found it to be invaluable, absolutely invaluable. So please take Denise up on her offer. You will not regret it.
And I have a page up with the offer on it, so there's a little bit more details. It's hard to sometimes convey everything that we could talk about, you know, in an hour interview when we have other subjects coming up. But you can see some of the names of the gift markings and some examples of what it would look like if you had one, and some examples of the penalty zone. So that's on my website at rebelseer.com/gift-markings-special/, and I'll be sending out an email to the to the people on my list with that in it, and I think Marty's going to be sending out one to
Absolutely.
People on her list with that as well. But you can just go to Rebel Seer, R-E-B-E-L-S-E-E-R, or email me at rebelseer@gmail.com, and we'll talk. I would love to talk to you about any ways we can work together.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, Denise. I appreciate you so much. It's been so enjoyable. Take good care.
You are welcome. See you, Marty. See you, everyone.
If you're ready to finally free yourself from a job you hate, go to MartyMurphy.com and download Career Coach Marty Murphy's powerful free video series, Take the Big Leap, to learn the secrets to free yourself to live your dreams and do the rewarding work you love.